across the country, support for free public transit is gaining momentum. Several cities in Massachusetts have already scrapped fares for at least some buses. And all the major candidates in Boston's mayoral race have expressed some support for the idea. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman explains why the free fare concept is catching on.
The 37 bus pulls into the Lawrence Transportation Depot, and driver Francisco opens the door and rests his hand over the fare box as passengers board.
They're going to pay. I say, no, this bus is free. They say, all right, thank you. People like it.
Carol Aquino of Lawrence used to buy monthly passes. She appreciates the free bus rides.
Save me money that I can do in other things. You know, with everything going on, it was a great help. Now that I have to come out of my pocket to pay for it.
The 37 is one of three bus routes in Lawrence that has been free for nearly 2 years. Ridership has jumped almost 25%, and the city's mayor recently announced plans to extend the program for another 2 years. And other Massachusetts cities are experimenting with free mass transit as well. The Worcester Regional Transit Authority has been using federal pandemic relief money to offer fare-free bus service for more than a year. Brockton has made rides free on summer weekends. And Boston Acting Mayor Kim Janey wants to waive fares on a popular bus route through the heart of the city.
I am delivering a free bus now as mayor, connecting a major economic corridor from Mattapan Square to Grove Hall to Nubian Square.
So the 28 can go to Ruggles Station if you stand over in this line.
An MBTA officer at Nubian Square gives directions to the 28 bus. That's the one Boston wants to make free. But dropping the fare has proved complicated. The city and T have spent months trying to work out the details. And passengers along the route have questions too.
The bus's route is going to become what? Free?
Tony Johnson waits for a friend at the 28 bus stop.
How would they stay in business? Why would it be free?
I would like to know how come you only want to do the 28 bus.
This is Tony Johnson's brother, Bobby.
Why not somewhere more convenient like downtown? Yeah, I feel like the Silver Line would be more convenient for people if it was free, not the 28.
Some politicians also want to go beyond the 28 and explore ways to make the entire MBTA bus system free, something that would cost about $60 million a year, or even eliminate fares on subways and commuter trains, which would cost much more. The issue has become a hot topic in the Boston mayoral race. All of the major candidates support some form of free transit.
When I first called to make the T free 3 years ago, people told me the idea was impossible.
City Councilor Michelle Wu has made free public transit a centerpiece of her campaign.
And you can take it from me. Public transportation should be free.
And outside of Boston, a growing number of state and national leaders say there are many benefits to ending fares.
More than many other districts in the state, mass transit is important in my district.
State Senator Will Brownsberger sits in a bus shelter along the 73 route in Cushing Square, Belmont. Brownsberger, one of the most influential Democrats on Beacon Hill, argues getting rid of bus fares would speed up service.
People don't have to delay to get on and off, use any door anytime. That's good for everybody. That's good for the operation of buses, especially at rush hour.
Brownsberger says buses would spend less time idling at stops, so there'd be less exhaust pollution, cleaner air. Powerful arguments on Beacon Hill, where there's a proposal that would require the T and regional transit authorities to try fare-free pilot projects statewide. And there are efforts nationwide, one led by Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley and U.S. Senator Ed Markey, would provide $5 billion in grants to help transit systems eliminate fees. Pressley says it's about equity.
It's a matter of justice, economic, environmental, and also racial justice. I really do see transit at the center of all of these issues. And our bill would really allow everyone in community to move freely, hence the Freedom to Move Act.
Many cities across the country have used pandemic funding to help temporarily drop fares, but some have begun charging again, citing the cost. In Boston, the MBTA says it's focused mainly on service upgrades rather than dropping fares. David Bragdon, executive director of Transit Center in New York City, agrees.
Every other industrialized country in the world has better transit than the United States does. And the way they have achieved that is the tried and true fundamental way of providing really abundant, good transit.
Bragdon argues it's better to offer discounts to low-income riders than do away with fares altogether. Roughly one-third of the MBTA's annual revenue comes from passengers, and the T says that money would be tough to replace. But advocates point out that just 10% of the fare revenue comes from bus riders.
I'm not crazy when I say it might just be easier to make the buses free.
Stacey Thompson is executive director of Livable Streets Alliance. She says regional transit authorities waste as much as 70% of the fares they collect on buses just collecting fares. Once you factor in all the costs from buying and maintaining ticket machines and paying workers to sort through the cash. The MBTA plans to roll out a new automated fare collection system over the next 3 years, but Thompson says it'll cost close to $1 billion.
So they're not spending that money on increasing service. They're just spending the money they're collecting largely from low-income people to collect those dollars and cents over and over again. What is the point of that?
Thompson says free buses have been proven to work. The Silver Line bus connecting Boston's Logan Airport to South Station has been free for people leaving the airport since 2012, helping to reduce traffic. And some universities have offered free shuttles for decades. Now Thompson argues it's time to make the entire bus system in Greater Boston free as well.
If public transit is a public good, then we should treat it that way, and we should fund it like we fund schools and libraries. What does the service cost? Let's make sure we have the resources to achieve that.
So while some transit systems across the country want to maintain fares, others are considering making their service free and finding ways to make up the lost revenue. How Boston and the MBTA might do it remains to be seen.
That from WBUR's Bruce Gellerman. To see a roundup of the major Boston mayoral candidates' positions on free mass transit, you can visit WBUR.org. We are asking, should the T be free? More communities are asking that question and experimenting with answers. Before the break, we heard a report from WBUR's Bruce Gellerman on the growing movement to make public transit free in the Commonwealth. But now we want to hear from you. What do you think? Should it be free? Or maybe just, should buses be free? Or maybe improving service levels is more important than making it free. If some or all of the T were free, would you be willing to pay for it through fees or higher taxes? And on the other side, if free transit would be a game changer for you, tell us why and how. Bring it all on. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. We have a couple of great guests to guide us along the way. We're joined by Stacey Thompson, Executive Director of Livable Streets Alliance, and Lawrence Acting Mayor Kendris Vasquez, who recently announced an extension of that city's free bus pilot program. Stacey, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Mayor Vasquez, welcome to you too.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak about this very important subject today.
So Stacey, I'm going to start with you. You've been working in this space for a while. Why do you think the call to free the T up, to make it free, is so resonant right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing two things happen. One, because of the leadership of folks like Mayor Vasquez, we've had a couple of fare-free pilots in Massachusetts, and they've been successful in getting folks back on transit, right? Like, we know that it works. And so when you see something as effective, you want more of that. And we desperately need more people on transit. But separately, you know, what I often say, this shocks people. Bus fares on the MBTA have gone up by 300% in the last few decades, and that has not produced better service. So I think it's time to really ask hard questions about why we're collecting these fares in the first place.
So Mayor Vasquez, I've been eager to speak with you because you're actually running free buses in your city on three routes. What's been the overall takeaway?
Just so you know, this program started back in 2019 when I was actually the city council president, and we made the MVRTA free for people in the city of Lawrence in three particular routes. This program has been a win-win for our community. It encourages, you know, bus ridership, which has increased in the city of Lawrence. In a community like ours, this is extremely important. You know, we're talking about environmental justice. We are talking about, you know, less people using their cars, which actually occupy a lot more space and releases harmful pollutants to the, you know, to that affect that people's health. So essentially, we are addressing multiple concerns at the city level, not just the transportation as it is. We're ensuring that people are able to get to work, ensure that, you know, our families are able to bring their kids to, you know, doctor's appointments and to school.
So Let's talk about the other side of that for a second, because I understand the city's paying the Merrimack Valley Regional Transit Authority $450,000 to make up for the 4 years of lost revenue. How do you pay for that? Where's that money coming from?
So this is money that is coming directly from our free cash or our surplus account. And if we were to look at the whole budget of the city of Lawrence, it accounts for 0.065% of the budget. And I think that this is a very significant investment for our community members to ensure that they continue to have services that are necessary. So we are prioritizing our community members in this project.
So let's turn to the phones, and then Stacey, I'm going to come back to you, 1-800-423-8255, to talk about free public transit. We've got Pamela on the line in Concord. Pamela, go ahead.
Hi. I think that you said it very well at the very beginning. Transportation is a public good. I can easily afford to pay for it, but I believe it should be free for everyone. We shouldn't make it harder to be poor in our towns. And we also shouldn't make it a stigma that only the poor people ride free. That's ridiculous.
Pamela, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. I'm also going to pick up Mike here in Pembroke. Mike, go ahead.
Hi. I think free public transit is a great idea, but I don't see how we pay for this. And if I live on the South Shore, so I'm fortunate I can take advantage, but where I work, it doesn't work for me, so I have to drive anyways. But for the rest of the residents, you know, Central and Western Mass, where the cost, you know, in the Boston area for public transit is going to far outweigh, you know, their local regional costs, I don't see how that can be paid for, you know, fairly, equitably, across the taxpayers of the state.
Thanks for that call, Mike. So, Stacey of Livable Streets, I'm going to turn back to you here. You've made some statements about cost and what the real costs would be. We heard you with Bruce Gellerman before the break. Talk a little bit about this.
Sure. And you know what? It's that we hear this a lot, but I would say two things. One, I think we should think about the regional transit authorities and the MBTA a little differently. We could make all of our regional transit authorities free for roughly $25 million. And that's a very small amount of the statewide budget annually. And so, you know, Lawrence wouldn't have to pay in. They could invest that money in other resources if the state legislature took that step. On the MBTA side, this is exactly why we want to take a measured approach and start with buses, because we don't actually collect that much money on buses, and we could get a real savings in terms of access, in terms of timing. And that is, you know, we'd like to start there and then work with the legislature on many proposals that are already out there to backfill the money that would be needed to make transit free. So it's a multi-step approach, but it is totally achievable based on the resources that are available and the number of legislative proposals that exist to backfill those funds.
So I'm going to bring a T voice actually in a couple of minutes. But before we do, Stacey, so if one makes buses free, A, what about people who start on a bus but move to another form of transportation? And B, what about concerns that bus service is suboptimal or not as frequent or as fast or as available as it needs to be, and sort of starving the beast at a time when maybe better transit is actually the solution?
Sure. So a couple of things. We are very supportive of low-income fares for the MBTA because a lot of people do transfer to rail lines. I would also note that the legislature supported it and the governor himself vetoed low-income fares during the height of the pandemic. So, you know, we need leadership from the administration to actually make our fares equitable. And again, these aren't mutually exclusive topics. We do need better service. You know, Livable Streets has been asking the T to purchase 200 additional buses, run more service, you know, do more work. The money we're collecting on buses right now isn't paying for that bus service. And so, you know, I think we need to think about where the funds are coming from, what they're paying for, and then focus on where the need is and go from there.
Did you have this kind of pushback, Mayor Vasquez, in your community as you started the program? And have there been, I mean, what about concerns by people who don't take the buses that their taxpayer dollars or other city funds are subsidizing?
In the community of Lawrence, when we started this program back in 2019, people understood that this was for the public good. You know, and this is a conversation that, you know, community members have had, and they're actually demanding that we continue to, you know, support services like this for the general public. You know, they understand that, you know, it has an impact in what we call environmental justice. It has an impact in ensuring that our business community continue to thrive, because as a result of that, individuals are able to travel within our business district and not be concerned about how to get to, or, you know, from one place to the other. So it's about expansion at this point. And that's a conversation that my administration continue to have, you know, talking about, it's just like when we talk about improving our schools or our health system, we need to talk about improving our mobility, because it is no longer an afterthought. This is not a luxury for, you know, some community members. So the community in general has been very, very, you know, positive in regards to this service.
To that, let's pick up some calls. 1-800-423-8255. Arlene is calling from Lawrence. Arlene, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I'm very, very happy with the public transit in my town, which is Lawrence. And thank you, Mayor Vasquez, for that. I truly appreciate it. And I know a lot of people in my community that are served with that and are able to move around as a result, otherwise would have been stranded because could not, you know, whether afford it, or even people that can afford it sometimes don't want to drive their vehicle for lack of parking or what have you. But it is an excellent, excellent idea, at least for my community.
Thanks for the call, Arlene. I also want to pick up Carl in Orange. Carl, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Go ahead, Carl.
I'm trying to take you off speaker. Sorry.
So, Carl, we'll come back to you. Go ahead.
I got you off speaker. So I live out in Orange, Mass., which is in Western Mass., and we're nowhere near any commuter rails or any T infrastructure that can take you into the city. And most people here don't come and go from the city and all my surrounding towns. And we don't work there where the pay scales tend to be higher. Even though pay scales out here are substantially lower. And I wouldn't think that it's right for so much of the state that doesn't have access or immediate access to these public transit lines to have to pay a tax or pay into that system. I do agree, though, if I lived in that area, that we probably should, and because we would use it, and it would benefit the city and those areas. So maybe they could set it up that the areas that the commuter rails and T lines reach get that tax. But to charge Western Mass for it, and there's an awful lot of population out here. I mean, it's more sparsely populated, but
yep,
there's a lot of people and a lot of taxpayers to the state that we never use it. We don't benefit from it, and we don't earn the income to be able to afford more taxes on top of taxes. I mean, the cost of living is getting to be insane as is.
Thanks for that call, Carl. I think that's an important perspective to bring into this mix, too. And I'm going to bring another one in now. So Mayor Vasquez and Stacey, sit tight. I'm going to bring in another voice here. Brian Kane is the executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So I'm going to put it straight to you. Do you think the T or buses on the T should be free?
It would be great if they could be, but the question is, how do we afford it? You know, the T's budget right now is only balanced because of $665 million in one-time federal funds. And because of hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funds for the next 2 years, they're okay. But starting in 2024, in July of that year, they're looking at a massive deficit of $300 to $450 million. And to put that in perspective, the service cuts that we saw in Forging Ahead last winter were only trying to generate around $135 million. So the cuts that would be necessary if the T is forced to fund this by itself, you know, starting in 2024, would just be draconian and dramatic. And if we want to grow ridership, which I think is something we all agree we want to do, I just don't think this is the right approach right now.
And the idea that there is actually quite a bit of expense spent collecting fares that doesn't need to be if those fares are free, and that you know, money could be reinvested elsewhere?
Well, my good friend Stacey Thompson and I disagree on this topic. The money that the T is spending for its automated fare collection system, fare transformation, is capital money. And that's money that the T is borrowing to invest in its system, and it will pay back dividends over the next 30 years as it's paid for. It's not like if they stopped doing the fare transformation program right now, they could turn around and use that money to fund free fares. It just doesn't work that way. It's capital money versus operating.
So, Brian, you talked about, you know, the short-term, if you want to call it that, infusion of funds from the various COVID bills. We know that at the time that money came forward, the congressional delegation pushed hard on the T that that was to provide relief now, not to stave off future deficits. So why not at least experiment with free T to see if there could be cost benefits or benefits to low-income people that might make it worth it?
Well, the T-zone analysis on this is that the cost would be in the realm of $60 million, mostly from something called induced demand. As buses are made free, there would be more demand for people to use them, which means the T would have to put more buses on the lines. Now, keep in mind, they don't have sufficient storage space to actually add more buses. We all wish they did, but they don't have anywhere to store them or put them or maintain them, let alone the money to pay the people that would have to do that. So in order to meet the demand, the T was actually going to have to degrade service in order to meet the demand for this free service. And so to me, it just doesn't make sense.
All right. I'm going to bring Stacy in here for just a second. Stacy Thompson, let me give you just a chance to react to what we've just heard from Brian Kane.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is maybe our favorite issue to debate. I'm so happy you brought my friend Brian on. And I would agree with him that we need to invest in the MBTA. I would also note that when we had, after another fare increase pre-pandemic, the MBTA was falling off of the same financial cliff that Brian was describing earlier. Our bus fares are not saving the T. And they, in fact, are just a small portion of the overall budget. So if we're specifically talking about making buses free, this is where I would disagree and say, you're right. The federal funds that our delegation fought for are meant to be used right now. Ridership is down. So that small portion of funding that comes from bus fares is even smaller right now. I might argue minuscule. Now is the time to use the federal funds that we're already using to backfill fares to make buses free and test our assumptions. Because what Brian described were assumptions that we disagree with. But because the T isn't moving forward with the pilot, we can't test those assumptions. You know, okay. I keep saying I look forward to the T proving me wrong.
All right. So, Brian, I'm going to give you one last word here before we say goodbye to you.
Well, thanks, Tiziana. And like Stacy said, we like to debate this topic. We often do. And it's actually, you know, great that you know, folks like herself and Mayor Vasquez are working on this and trying to improve transit in general. And that's what it's all about. The MBTA needs additional funds. It needs more funds from either something like the Freedom of Movement Act that was discussed in Bruce Gellerman's piece or from the state legislature. The T is subsidized to the tune of over $1 billion a year right now across the Commonwealth. Unfortunately, that is not enough. It's certainly not enough for its massive backlog of capital needs. And unfortunately, it just needs additional money to get through these lean years when ridership is down, and taking fare revenue off the table just isn't going to do that. And I'm just afraid we're going to just be back in a service cut situation again if we go down this road.
All right. Brian Kane is the executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board. Brian, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mayor Vasquez, I want to ask you this concern that when you stop taking in revenues, you wind up reducing service. I mean, it seems pretty logical. If you don't have money coming in, you can't maintain an upkeep. How has that played out for you?
So that actually has not happened with us because we are providing the funding via our surplus account to the NVRTA. So essentially, the city of Lawrence has decided to pay the fare to the for any rider. So the program itself is being paid out of free cash, our free cash account. And you know, we can clearly show that the ridership has increased here in the city of Lawrence. We are ensuring that we continue to expand on the service. So the service has not declined in our city by making it, you know, a free, accessible, transportation program. On the contrary, I think that the program itself has demonstrated that there's a greater need, and we need to continue to address it as we move forward in my administration.
I'd like to pick up one more call here. We've got Glenn on the line in Maynard. Glenn, go ahead.
Hi. I hear all this discussion without hearing anything about our impact on the environment, on the climate change, and how the T is an element that can help save people from using their automobiles, because out here it's a commuter rail situation for us in Maynard. And taking the train would be, if there was a way to accentuate use of the train, it would be helpful to the environment.
Thank you. And so just lightning round to our two guests first. Mayor Vasquez, did it increase ridership?
It did. It has increased ridership in the city of Lawrence, you know, over 25%, which means that, you know, we're addressing environmental justice here in the community, and we're ensuring that people have access to their jobs and, you know, doctor's appointments and the day-to-day lives.
And Stacey, what does the research tell us about its impact on car usage and congestion?
People are more likely to get on a bus or a train when that transit is free, and that will have a positive net impact on people who are driving on our roads every day.
All right. So I think then the last question is, I mean, the two of you are making a case that seems very clear, but we don't do this. There aren't tons and tons of communities that are doing free public transit. It must be quite hard. How do you address the obstacles? Now, let me backtrack. I'm not coming down on one side of this or the other, but my last question is, if it were this good, why are not more places doing it? Stacey.
I think because we are not treating public transit like a public good. Every time I bring this up, folks say, well, but you should pay to use transit. And I say, well, schools, public health, public libraries demonstrate that when you shift your mindset, which is what we need, a shift in mindset, that public transit is a public good with environmental benefits, public health benefits, then it becomes easier to make the financial case for public transit. So I think that's key. And I think separately, places are doing this. LA Metro, which is a massive transit agency, is moving forward with a fare free pilot. I would like Boston to speed up and beat them.
All right. I'm actually going to have to end it there. That's Stacey Thompson, Executive Director of the Livable Streets Alliance. And we've also had Lawrence Mayor Kendris Vasquez, where a free bus system has been in place in a pilot form for 4 years. Thanks to the both of you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry, since 2019, I said 4 years, I got all excited there. Sorry about that. Thanks again to both of you.